Welcome to the Life Church Brisbane North podcast. Life Church exists to reach and empower people. No matter where you are listening from, we pray that this message is an encouragement to you.
Here come the dreamers. I want to share today a story of a guy called Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a great leader, a great gatherer of people, a great strategist. And God gave him a vision that brought about incredible renewal and revival amongst his people. I want to use him today as a picture of what I believe God is wanting us to, all each of us, collectively, individually, to step into. But before we do that, I want to read a scripture. It says in Acts 2, verse 17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." It says when we surrender ourselves to Jesus, when we come into relationship with God, something changes. It's not activity. Sure, behavior begins to change, activities begin to, habits change, all those things. But what begins, what starts in our life isn't an external change, it's an internal change. And isn't it amazing that the first thing the scripture talks about is that God begins to give us vision for our life, dreams and visions. And we're not here today just looking back saying, wow, what a great 12 months. We're just hoping we can have another good 12 months like this and then another good 12 months. We're saying, God, you're wanting to do something that is going to blow our minds, is going to accelerate what you're wanting to do on the earth. And God is, and I just want to share today from this concept of dreaming, that we're called to be the kind of people that dream outrageous kind of dreams. In fact, we're here today because we've got lead pastors that began to dream that they could lead a church where men and women could be released into their God call, where people are going to be reached for the gospel, where it's not just about staying in one place and just being faithful with that, but it's about seeing what God can do as we begin to step out in faith as a church. And as a church, at Life Church, we're here because I think in around 1950, a group of people stepped out and started a kids ministry on a hill in a suburb called Cooper's Plains. And if you've been there, keep moving through, keep driving through. But no, just kidding. It's awesome. But started a kids ministry on a hill in Cooper's Plains, I think in a tent. And from that, it became a church, and a group of a few hundred people stepped out in faith and bought land, which became our school that Sean and Kath. Sean's doing a phenomenal job leading our college, and you know, we're reaching over 1,000 students now in our college and all the families that are impacted. And all of that actually came out of the fact that someone was willing to dream. Someone was willing to dream. And if you're going to dream, you're going to pay a price for the dream. But we shouldn't be afraid of the price we're going to pay. I think God actually wants us to be so wrapped up, so motivated, so captured by the dream that he's wanting to put in our heart. And this is a guy in scripture called Nehemiah, and he's in an influential position. He's a cupbearer to the king. And he had all kinds of different responsibilities as a cupbearer. One of them was to test out there was no poison in the wine. I'm not sure. I think you delegate those ones so you continue to have employment if things go wrong, if you know what I'm saying. All right, but so you build a team to do that. It's like that's the, you know, entry-level roles. Like, I'm just desperate for a job, mate. Try this drink, okay? So anyway, but he's a cupbearer to the king, and he's in an influential position. But he hears in through discussion that Jerusalem lies in ruins, and God begins to do a work in his heart. And if you read through the story of Nehemiah, he's so impacted, he's so affected by what is happening, that Jerusalem lies in ruins. Not just the city, but it says that the people were in reproach. That there was reproach in the Bible means shame. That they didn't fully understand who they were. It's like something that had happened to them as a people had impacted them so greatly that they'd forgotten who they were in God. And we have a world right now that doesn't know Jesus. We've forgotten our identity, our value in God, how incredibly significant human life is. And so Nehemiah is so torn up. He's so impacted that he begins to fast. He begins to pray. He starts to cry out and say, God, do something. God, would you do something? Who knows when we start to pray, God, would you do something? That it's a dangerous prayer to pray. Because sometimes God always answers. And usually God says, I want to do something and it's going to involve you. Okay? It's like, God, would you just do something about the kids' ministry? Like, you know, it's really, hang on a second. I think God's telling me to. So every time we start to get fired up about something, it's often because God's wanting to use us in that way. And Nehemiah begins to get so torn up. God, would you do something? God, would you do something? This isn't right. And he goes and he's back at work on Monday. He's with the king and he's got the wine. And the king says, I've never seen you look sad before. There's a good tip, by the way. If you want to be a great employee, bring life. He'd never seen him be sad before. Isn't that a great testimony? It's like, oh, I'm used to you being sad. So it's the usual, you know, ups and downs. It's Monday. You're in a bad mood. That's everyone's used to it. Tiptoe around. You know, he said, I've never seen you be sad before. I've never seen you like this. What's going on? And Nehemiah prays, you know, under his breath, and he says, God, you know, help me. Give me courage. I'm about to speak out in a way that I probably shouldn't in this context. And he begins to share what's on his heart. And the king and the queen, they're sitting side by side. They're basically, long story short, they send him back to Jerusalem. They empower him to go and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And I've just got a few thoughts from the story of Nehemiah this morning. Just a couple of thoughts, just really quickly today, that I think are significant for us as we head into what God has for us. The first thing is this, that God has created us with the capacity, but also the responsibility to dream. Not just the capacity, we're all created with the capacity to dream. I think there's about 10 billion senses in our brain when it comes to imagination. 10 billion kind of sensory things in our brain going off at all times. Our imagination is so powerful. But when we give our life to Jesus, it's the dream, it's no longer just about us. You see, some of us think, oh, it's selfish to dream. No, it's not selfish to dream, provided we're dreaming in the context that God is giving us. In other words, God, he hasn't just given us the capacity to dream, but he's given us the responsibility to dream. Because somebody else is going to be impacted on the other side of you dreaming. Think about it this way. As we as a church begin to dream at Life Church in all of our locations, come on, let's believe to grow, believe to impact, believe to raise up leaders, believe to plant more locations, reach more people. As we lift our dreams, God begins to reach more people. More people are impacted. If we just allow our dreams to stay small, no one gets changed. But if we lift our faith, if we lift our expectation, it's not selfish to dream. In fact, it's actually the opposite is true. It's selfish not to dream. It's selfish not to dream. If you've got children, you think about, man, I want to create the best kind of environment, the best marriage, the best family so that our kids have the best, you know, opportunity to step into what God has for them. And it's the same for us as a church. God's calling us, church, to dream bigger. Honestly, to dream bigger. Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. We lose our way when we stop dreaming. The best way to stay on fire for Jesus, the best way to live a life of momentum, the best way not to get caught up in petty arguments and get the best way not to get distracted in life and get caught up in all kinds of wrong things. It's not just focus on the wrong things. It's to focus on who Jesus is and to focus on the dream that he's put in your heart. It's to focus on putting yourself in the presence of God. You know, when we talk to young adults, we say, you know, how do you stay pure in relationships and do things the right way? And it's like, don't forget about that. But if you pursue Jesus, everything else is going to follow you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Come on, as a church, God's calling us. It really is our responsibility to dream. And when it comes to dreams, you know, we begin to pray. Nehemiah began to pray. And notice his prayers weren't about him. His prayers were about others. See, when we pray, if I did an audit of my prayers, are my prayers focused on changing my world or are they focused on changing the world? Wow. When I look at my prayer list, God, you know, give me a new car. God bless, and none of those things are bad. You know, God, make me healthy. You know, God, tell my kids to behave. You know, God supernaturally intervened in my children's behavior. God really helped my kids behave. There's a lot of prayer on there for that. But are my prayers just about me? Are our prayers just about us? As a church, are our prayers just about God, just help Sunday be good? God, just help the worship be nice so I can enjoy it. God, just make sure the impressions team don't tell me to sit somewhere I don't want to sit. God, just give us air conditioning. Oh, okay, we definitely need that, Jesus. Okay, but are your prayers focused on changing the world or just your world? And there's a soap journal on your seats today for this reason. Because if there's one thing we can do, if God's calling us to dream, then it's not just about us. The dreams don't come from us. It's not our strength. It's His strength. It's His presence. And as we put ourselves, I want to encourage you to take that journal, to take this journal today. And if you don't already have, maybe your challenge this year, your next step this year is going to be to create a daily habit of connecting with God and hearing from Him. Friend, Jesus hasn't called us to just an experience on a Sunday. He's called us to relationship with Him. Amen. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that where Jesus is made Lord, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, where Jesus is made Lord. See, what we do when we stop every single morning and we connect with God, or every moment in a day, if to take 5 minutes or 3 minutes or 15 minutes, maybe for you, it's going to start with 1 minute as you just stop and say, Holy Spirit, as I read your word, whoa, and I get a better table. As I read your word, I pray you'd speak to me. Start to fill my heart with a greater vision for my future, for my family, for my church, for maybe if you lead a team or your life group. God, speak to me. God, give me a greater dream than what I'm dreaming right now. Second thought is this, that dreams will always attract opposition. Nehemiah faced all kinds of opposition. And just one scripture we're going to look at, Nehemiah 4:7 says this, now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, so there's a couple of good names, by the way, guys, and the Arabs and the Amorites and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. See, there is an enemy. The enemy is not people. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You need to know our enemies, you know, there's all kind of political debates going on and they're right and they're wrong. And the enemy's never people. People are never the problem and they're never the answer. Jesus is the answer. And we have an enemy. We have a spiritual enemy. He opposes you. And it says they became angry and all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. And if we're gonna dream this year, there are gonna be all kinds of opposition that comes against us. As you step into a new job, as you start to dream for your family, if you start to dream for your marriage, start to dream for your home, or start to dream, whatever it is, start to dream for the thing that God's, as you start to dream, as you start to step out in faith, because who knows, a dream without a plan is just a wish. So we don't just want a dream. We need a plan. We say, okay, this year God's speaking to me about this area of my life. He's beginning to give me a fresh dream, a fresh vision. I'm going to start to step out in faith. We should never be surprised that when you begin to take those first few steps, you'll face opposition. And most often when we face opposition, we feel like it's a sign we're going in the wrong direction, but usually it's a sign that we're going in the right direction. If you're taking any new ground, if you begin to dream, you're taking any new ground in your life, it's often a sign as you face opposition that you're going in the right direction. And this is what the Bible says. It's our promise today. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. This is what it's saying. There will be weapons formed against us, but they will not prosper as we stay in faith and we stand in faith. And friend, maybe you're facing a time of discouragement right now. You've wanted to step out in faith and do something fresh and get fit this year, or begin to dream for your marriage, or start to dream for a business, or things have come against you. And you feel like you were just going so good with God and all of a sudden you're discouraged and you're feeling flat. Friend, the The word tells us that we will face opposition, but it will not prosper as we stand in faith and we trust Jesus. Third thing is this, great dreams require great teams. Great dreams require great teams. That's a tongue twister. Great dreams require great teams. You know, we're here today because there's a team of people sitting throughout this room that have faithfully given, that have faithfully sown. I can't tell you the number of phone calls that Chanel Morrison would have made in the last 12 months. I think it probably edges on 6,500 phone calls. You know, Sean and Kath leading Kickstart, Mel helping with all kinds of stuff and coming in the office. And I don't even know what she does half the time. And she's just all kinds of spreadsheets and reports being pumped out. And it's like, this is unbelievable. And our amazing kids team, and where's Kelvin and Rosie sitting in the back there, and all our impressions team, and Eloise making coffees for everybody. You know, you can never have a day, coffee team can never have a day off. It's like everybody needs coffee, and all kinds of team, our life group leaders and our amazing worship team. But a great dream requires a great team. And you know, friends, we're a part of the greatest dream on the earth. The church is God's dream for the earth. It's why Jesus died. We love to focus in Western culture on individualism, which is Jesus died for me, Jesus died for me. And yes, he did. And our culture is wired towards that. But friends, Jesus also died for us. He died to establish a church. He died to establish a team. Not just a whole bunch of random individuals just doing their own thing, but he died and he rose again and he declared that he will build his church. He will build a team. If you look at what Jesus, most of Jesus' time was spent developing a team. Friend, if you want to be a part of what God is doing on the earth, it's not rocket science. Join the team. This year, our theme is the adventure. I love it. Come and join the adventure of what Jesus is doing on the earth. And no matter what we do from Monday to Friday, no matter what our careers look like or what our background looks like, we can all be a part of the adventure that Jesus has for us. Great dreams require great teams. And I believe this, that our best days are ahead. Our best days are ahead. This, Emily said it today, this isn't the end. This wasn't like, God, if we could just have Craigslee State High School on a Sunday and just fan ourselves with those journals and just, if that could, that's just our pinnacle, God. You know, if that was our prayer, I think God's answer back to that prayer would be, get a bigger dream. Abraham, get out of your tent and look up. And God's saying, and guess what? We've got a building coming. I'm going to show a video in a moment. But listen, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. It's not about buildings. It's not about whatever. It's about people coming to know Jesus and about people being disciples being made, about leaders being raised up. It's about God's dream and a great dream. We're a part of the greatest dream on earth. It requires great teams. And the amazing message of the gospel is that Jesus loves you just the way you are, and he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He's going to transform your life, but also that he invites us to come and follow him and be a part of the adventure. He actually invites us to come and be a part of what God is doing. That's crazy. Like, God doesn't really, ever thought about this? God doesn't really need our help. Like, when we give, it's not because God's running short of change in heaven, right? Our giving's not for God, it's for us. God invites us. God, let's put it this way. God doesn't need us, but he chooses to need us. Like when my kids help me cooking in the kitchen, I don't need their help, but I pretend that I do because it's great for them, not so much for me. Who knows what I'm talking about? God doesn't need us. Ministry is not a right. It's an incredible privilege, an incredible responsibility. Being a part of his house, it's not our right. It's actually an amazing entrustment. We've been entrusted with this season. And I believe that out of this location, there's going to be more locations. I believe out of this location, there's going to be incredible leaders raised up. There's people like Roshan. I'm not saying anything, but there's people that are going to be people raised up of influence, stepping into new jobs, just like Nehemiah. And it might not look like a typical, you know, it might not look what you thought, but God's going to raise you up to be an incredible influence for the kingdom of God out of this place. I believe it. There's kids in our kids ministry right now. They're going to preach the gospel to thousands of people. There are all kinds of stories and miracles and God's going to do it. Our best days are ahead. And the fourth thing is this. God dreams come with steps, not maps. God dreams come with steps, not maps. See, when Jesus invites us to follow him on the adventure and to dream, he never gives us the full map. Like 2 weeks ago for our Vision Sunday, we got given adventure maps, and I love it. You go through the map, and if you didn't get one, see the Next Steps team after the service, we'll get you one. All the different things that your next step. And that map, if you look on the map, it's made up of all different steps. And I found when it comes to following Jesus, Jesus doesn't give us the full plan. He doesn't say, come and follow me and here's everything I'm going to do in your life. Ever discovered that? Who wishes God would do that? Here's everything. You know, Nehemiah, his first step was to go and walk through the city of Jerusalem. That's all he did. He didn't say anything. He didn't tell anybody. He didn't start an Instagram account and say, guys, I'm starting a new business. It's called Restoring Jerusalem Co. Okay, and come and join the party. It's unbelievable. It's going to be crazy. That's what we do, right? I'm going to change the world. You know, God spoke to me and we say all these things and we haven't done anything yet, right? So Nehemiah, he's a great leader. He didn't say anything. He just walked through the city and he started formulating a plan. That was his first step. Then he began to share with the leaders, those closest to him, about what God was saying. And he got the key people on board. Then he built a team. Then he established a plan. Then he gathered resources. Then he released people. And then he adjusted the strategy. Then he had to fight opposition. Then he had to deal with internal challenges and internal oppression and things going on. And all these different things that he had to do. And you know what happens? I think if God was to give us the full picture, we would run away. So God's smart. He knows if I tell you everything that's going to happen, you're going to say no. And he doesn't want us to say no. So he's just going to help us just take the next step. And then the next step. Just forgive that person. Okay, that's going to be really hard. Just forgive that person. Okay, I can do that. Just trust me with your finances. Just trust me with your finances. I got to take that step. Just take time to connect with me every day and through my word. I'm going to take that step. Maybe for you, it's to join a life group, to get involved in a team. Whatever it looks like, Jesus is calling all of us to a next step. And the dream is a culmination of steps. The God dream isn't about having a map. It's about simply just knowing what our next step is. And so I want to help people today. Really, the most important step we need to take is a step to follow Jesus. It's a step to trust him with our life. Jesus doesn't, he didn't come so we could know about him, so we could just read a story about him and think that's nice and that's pretty. You know, Jesus is here, he's alive, and he came so that you and I could have life, have relationship with God, and so we could be in relationship with him.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Life Church is one church in multiple locations. To find out more about Life Church and our online and location-based services, visit us at www.lifechurch.com.au.